Morning. Happy Sabbath. So, yes, I have a little something today. And by God's grace, I'm going to be able to figure out this sharing my screen deal. So, give me a sec to set it. Okay, I have never done this before, so please bear with me.
What?
I'm sorry, guys. Don't know how to do that. So when I click the share screen, it tells me, or it gives me the windows that I can click on. And then when I try and click on my PowerPoint and then I press share, it says allow Zoom to share your screen, open system preferences, security and privacy to grant access. So I am going to my settings.
Try to share it again.
Okay, I think. Yes. Do you guys see it now? You guys can see it?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Okay, so now. Okay, does that look a little better?
Thank you. That's nice.
Yes, good, Dominic.
Okay, okay. Praise the Lord. Apologies again.
Brother,
I am no tech whiz. Okay, so today's sermon is titled FOF. Does anyone want to take a wild guess as to what FOF stands for?
Friend of.
Friend or foe.
Well, friend or foe? Close. How about faith over feeling?
Faith over feeling. Oh, beautiful.
Faith over feeling, yes. That is the title of today's sermon. So, this topic is very important. This is something that I learned about 5 years ago when I went to this program called Youth Rush. This is the very first sermon net that was preached to me, and ever since that day, it has just revolutionized my Christian walk. So this topic, it's very important because we often confuse faith and feeling. We think that faith sometimes is that funny feeling you get in your heart, the tingling sensation, and you're wondering, is this God speaking to me, and how do I know where to go? And so often we make choices based on how we feel. And in fact, most of our choices are based on how we feel. So let me give you an example. So when we wake up in the morning, and what is like the first thing we do? We start to get ready, right? Now, when we're getting ready, we got to pick out what we're going to wear for the day. And when you're picking out what you wear, you're like, man, do I feel like wearing this shirt today? Do I feel like wearing that shirt? Do I feel like wearing these pants? Should I wear shorts? What shoes? What do I feel like wearing today? Does that make sense? That I'm establishing that what we feel is the choice that we make. Okay, let me give you another example. So let's say I'm at church, right? I'm at San Jose Central. I am with my wife. I'm with Amber. I'm with Brother David. I'm with Sister Margarita, and I'm with Sister Tandy. And we're at church, and we're getting ready to leave church. And it's around lunchtime, so we go and decide, let's go get something to eat. And I ask my wife what she wants to eat. She says, I want to eat sushi. I ask Sister Margarita, Miss Sister Margarita says, oh, I want to eat Mexican food. I ask Sister Sandy Torres, and she's like, oh, I want to eat salad. Then I ask Brother David, he's like, I don't feel like eating lunch. I want to go straight to the dessert. Let's get some turon, that fried banana Filipino dessert. And we see that each person has a different choice because they feel like what they want to eat. Now, when you're in a bigger group, it's a little tricky, and you can't really always get everyone to exactly agree on one particular food. But we see that the choices that we make are based on how we feel.
Me both talking about eating food.
Yeah, I know, I'm making you guys a little hungry.
David, Sandra, and him all collected them.
So choices, some of the choices that we make are a little more serious at times. Let me give you another example. So let's say you go to church and you're single and you meet someone nice and they look nice and they smell nice, and then you start to get feelings. And you're wondering, is it mutual? And if it is, those feelings can lead to something more serious. And we start to see that we start making some decisions based on how we feel. And we see that no matter how big or how small these feelings are, they start to influence the choices that we make. Does that make sense? If that makes sense, say amen.
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 Okay. So today, we are going to be talking about faith, and we're going to be talking about feelings, and we are going to find the distinction between the two. So let's open up our Bibles, and we are going to turn to Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. It was our scripture reading today. The Bible reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now, in this Bible text, we get the definition of faith straight from the Bible. This isn't Webster's or any other dictionary. This is straight from the Bible, straight from the source. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So that word, substance, let's break it up a little bit. So we see the first three letters, sub. So my literature scholars, what does sub mean in terms of a prefix? What does the word sub mean? It means below, right? Like submarine, it's below the water. Subway, that's below the street. Not the sandwich, please. Subtract, you're below the point where you started on the numerical line. Now, stance. Stance sounds a lot like stand. Now, what do we stand on as Christians? We stand on the rock. We stand on the foundation. We stand firm in our faith. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and then we're going to skip 25. We're going to look at 26 and 27 as well.
He said Matthew 24.
The Bible reads, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be a foolish man who built his house on the sand." and the rain descended, the floods came. And the wind blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So, again, we see that Christ is our rock. He's our foundation. Now let us turn to Romans chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 17. The Bible says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word." So right here we see that faith comes by hearing of the word. I have a picture on here, and I have a picture of a Ferris wheel. Now, when we think of a Ferris wheel, where do we usually find a Ferris wheel? Any guesses?
It's in the, when they have a fair, you know?
Yeah, like a fair or carnival.
Yeah.
What's another place that we can find a Ferris wheel at?
Amusement park.
Amusement park. There we go. That's the word I was looking for. So at an amusement park, we see a Ferris wheel. What else do we find at an amusement park? What's the number one thing everyone loves at the amusement parks?
Overpriced food.
We do find that, but we don't like that. What do we like? What do we like at the amusement parks?
Roller coasters.
Roller coasters, that's right.
Everybody loves roller coasters.
Everyone loves roller coasters. That's right, Brother Kenny. So, okay. What does amusement parks and roller coasters have to do with today's sermon? Please, any guesses?
Well, you have faith that you don't go off into the great yonder sky.
Okay.
It doesn't go off the tracks, and you know, you have faith that everything's 100% in maintenance order.
Okay.
You have faith that maintenance is good.
Okay. So, have you guys ever heard, like, when you're describing, like, your relationship with your spouse, and when you're expressing your feelings, the number one thing that's always said is like, "Oh, our marriage has been a roller coaster." Have you guys ever heard that, or am I the only one? Yes, you guys heard that.
I lived it.
You've lived it. Okay, I think everyone that has been married has lived the roller coaster. So, okay, so we have feelings and we have the roller coaster. We've heard those two words together in a sentence before. So going back to the roller coaster, why do you think it is that people like the roller coasters? Why do we like the acceleration, the deceleration, the twists, the turns, the going upside down? Why do we love that? Why?
The feeling it gives us, like they call it the rush.
The adrenaline, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, how about I throw another word at you? We like the unpredictableness of the roller coaster. We like not knowing what's coming next.
When you're going up,
you're waiting for that drop, but you don't know when that drop is going to be. And then when it happens, you love it. You love not knowing when that drop is going to happen. And God, He created us to be emotional beings. Could you imagine Could you imagine going through life emotionless? Like, could you? Okay, let's go back to the amusement park. Could you imagine going? Okay, we live in the Bay, right? Let's say we're at Great America. Great America has this brand new ride coming out, and it is a ride that you get on, and when you get on it, all you do is this. At this speed. How fun would that be? Would you ever see a 2.5 hour wait to get onto that ride?
Nope.
No, right? No one wants to get on that ride. That's like getting your bus card and hopping on the BTA. That's boring. Ain't nobody like doing that. Feelings constantly change. But let's take a look at another verse in the Bible. We're going to look at Malachi 3, verse 6. The Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." So right here, we see that the Bible says, "I do not change." The Bible says, literally right there, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." Let's check out another verse. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in other words, Jesus is consistent. There is no moving the foundation. The rock is set in stone. It's there. Feelings are all over the place. They're like the roller coaster. They twist, they turn, they accelerate, they decelerate. I can't wake up tomorrow, and tomorrow we're having a little small get together for my daughter's birthday. I can't wake up tomorrow and be like, "Oh, I'm going to be happy all day, the entire day, because it's my daughter's birthday party, and that's it. I'm just going to be happy all day." I can't set that in stone. I can't wake up tomorrow and just be full of joy from the second I wake up to the second I fall asleep. I can't do that. I might be stressed out. I might be tired. I might be whatever other emotion that comes with a birthday party. But God's word, again, is consistent. You guys see a blank page?
Yes.
Okay. That was put in intentionally. So don't think your screen is messed up or anything. So I put this page in because I want us to fill in the blank right here. That blank screen is going to be filled up with us. So how many of us work? Does anyone work or go to school? How many of us go to school? Okay. When you wake up in the morning, are you juiced? Are you excited to go to work? Are you super excited to go to school? I know it's a little better now that you don't have to deal with the Bay Area traffic, but are you still excited to go to work? Anyone? I know I'm not overly joyed to go to work in the morning. I know how I feel in the morning. It's like, "Oh man, I can't wait to get to work." I can't wait for the day to be over to come back home. or how about this one? Do you guys ever feel like when you wake up, like, "Oh, I don't want to go to work today"? Has anyone ever felt like that, or is it just me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yes. Let's say we listen to our feeling in that moment. Let's say we wake up Monday morning and I don't feel like going to work, so I don't go to work. And then let's say Tuesday rolls around, same thing. I don't feel like going to work, I'm not going to work. Wednesday, same thing. Wake up, I don't want to go to work, I don't go to work. And I keep doing this, and eventually it'll get to the point where I wake up and I won't have work because I won't have a job to go to because I got fired. But when we wake up, we make that choice that even though we don't want to go to work, we get up and we go to work because it's something that we have to do. Now, if we do these things and they're not even they're important, but they're not what's going to, it's not going to make us or help us get to heaven. Like if you work at McDonald's, working at McDonald's isn't going to help you get to heaven. Or if you work at a warehouse, that's not exactly going to help you get to heaven. So if we see the importance in our jobs, because we do need the financial part of our job, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So if we see that our jobs are important and we make the decision to get up, even though we don't feel like it, we get up and we go anyway, how much more important is it when it comes to God? When you don't feel like waking up and going to church, when you don't feel like being a part of the praise team, when you don't feel like preaching, when you don't feel like leading out in Sabbath school, when you don't feel like showing up at church at all, like you just you don't want to go. You don't feel like waking up early, you're tired, you name the excuse, we all have them, and none of them are good enough. I want to show you guys a quote from Sister Ellen White. She says in The Christian Experience and Teachings, "I have frequently seen that the children of the Lord neglect prayer, especially secret prayer, altogether too much, that many do not exercise that faith which it is their privilege and duty to exercise, often waiting for that feeling which faith alone can bring. Feeling is not faith. The two are distinct. Faith is ours to exercise, but joyful feeling and the blessing are God's to give. The grace of God comes to the soul through the channel of living faith, and that faith it is in our power to exercise." So this last word right here, exercise. How many of us enjoy to exercise? Do any of you guys like doing any of these right here? Have any of you guys ever made a New Year's resolution? Like, oh, this year I wanna lose 10 pounds. Or maybe this year I wanna add 10 pounds of muscle. Have you guys ever made a resolution like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's say you make that resolution. If you never have, let's say you made it come in 2021. So you make that resolution. And January 2nd comes and you're motivated. It's the new year. You want to get off to a good start. You wake up at 4:30 in the morning. You go, you hit the gym. And you get your workout in and you feel good. You feel accomplished. Now let's say you work out one day a week for the rest of 2021. Do you guys think you'll lose your 10 pounds or gain your 10 pounds of muscle? What about... Okay, so can we all agree that the answer would be no? If we only work out one day a week?
No.
Okay. Okay. No, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's no.
Yes. Thank you. So, okay. So, we will not get in shape physically if we exercise once a week. Yet some of us, we exercise spiritually once a week, and some of us expect that to be enough.
It's true. It's supposed to be an exercise.
And we just said that it's not enough to work out once a week physically. So how can it be enough to work out once a week spiritually?
That's right.
No. Okay. Okay, what if we work out two times? Okay, let's say I show up on Wednesdays at prayer meeting and I show up on Sabbaths. Those are my two. I got 2 days I work out spiritually every week. Will that be enough?
No.
Agreed. When we exercise, so even if you don't want to exercise, you don't feel like exercising, and then you go and you exercise. Have you ever experienced like the feeling comes while you're doing the exercise?
Yep.
Like I don't feel like running, but then I go running and then I feel good. I feel like, man, like, praise the Lord, I went running today. What if we apply that to our Christian life? What if I didn't feel like preaching today? And then I started preaching and now I feel like, man, like, praise the Lord, I'm doing this, because I pray that not only is it helpful to you guys, but this is helping myself.
Amen.
What if Sister Ruby didn't feel like leading Sabbath school this morning, but she did it anyway, and the feelings came. In that instance, what you are doing is you are putting your faith over how you feel, and you are doing it anyway. There's this famous company that deals with sports a lot, Nike. They have a three-word slogan. Do you guys know what that is? Just do it. Just do it. No matter how you feel,
just do it.
Just do it. Here's a picture of me and my wife from 2015, as you can see on this t-shirt right here. Or sweater. And it is when I went to Youth Rush. Now, when I went to youth rush, I didn't exactly want to go to youth rush. I just wanted to stay home for the summer. It was my summer off. I didn't want to do it, but I want to share a testimony with you guys. So there was this particular day that I was going door to door, and I just wasn't feeling it. I was just kind of going through the motions, and to no surprise, I wasn't getting any books out. And I started to reach this breaking point where I had been there probably for about almost 5 weeks. I was almost halfway through. It was a 10-week program. And when I started to reach this breaking point, I started to get frustrated with God. And like I started talking to God like he was just some dude. Like I was just like I was mad. And I was like, okay, God, like what's up, dude? Like I've been out here all day and I'm not getting any books out. Like why today? Why me? Why? And I'm still mad. So I'm like, you know what? Forget it. Like you're not even going to answer anyway. I don't even know why I'm talking to you. And I go to the next door and I get to the next door and knock and no one answers. And I'm walking to the next house and I see this stone like on their front porch, and it has the verse Matthew 7:7 on it. It says, ask and it will be given unto you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened up to you. And I see that. And I was like, okay. I was like, okay, God. You know what? I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray right here in this driveway. And so I did. I stopped right there in the middle of the driveway. And I started praying. I knock on the house. Again, no one answers. And I'm like, okay, God, like, this is it, dude. Like, either I get a book out at this next house or I quit and I'm going home. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. And as I approach this next house, I see a statue. And the statue, it's a statue of Jesus, and he's pointing to his heart. And I just, like, I seen it and I kind of chuckled. And I was like, okay, God, you're right. Like, it's not in my heart. Like, I don't want to do this. And it's showing, like, my body language is just going through the motions, like I said. And, I give my excuses, you know, it's hot, I'm tired, my feet hurt, I have blisters on my feet. And I don't want to do it. And I was like, but you know what, God, like from these past two houses, I seen that, you know, you are talking to me. And I was like, okay, you know what? I made a decision right there, right before I knocked on the house. Like I am going to give it everything that I have left. I knock on the door and this man answers and I go off. I'm like, hi, my name is Dominic. And I'm like super just enthusiastic. I'm a little extra and I give him my whole spiel. And before I even like introduce the first book, he gives me an emphatic, like, yes. And I was like, what do you mean? Yes. Like I haven't even, like, I'm puzzled. Like, guess what? And he was like, I've been waiting for you for the past year to come. He's like, come in, come in, come in, come in. And I was like, okay, pause. We'll get back to the story in a little bit. But I need to give you a little backstory. So I, at the time, I am a 19-year-old Hispanic male who has trust issues. So when a stranger invites me into their house, I am extremely hesitant. However, I was just praying and the Holy Spirit's working on my heart, amen? So, okay, back to the story. So I get my radio and I radio my leader to get approval to go inside. And so I call my leader. He says, cool, leave your bag outside so I know what house you're in. And I was like, okay, that's not the answer I wanted. I wanted you to tell me no because I really don't want to go inside. But again, the Holy Spirit was working. So I was like, okay. So in my head, I'm thinking, okay, I'll go inside. When I go inside, if this dude tries anything, like anything at all, like I'm not even all the way Christian yet, so we're going to get into some sort of physical altercation and the outcome isn't going to be pretty for one of us. And I go inside and I'm praying and I'm just asking for the Holy Spirit's lead. And so we get inside and we sit down at his table. And he's telling me, he's like, yeah, I couldn't. I've been waiting for you. And I'm still puzzled. I'm like, dude, like we just met. Like, what do you mean you've been waiting for me? Like, I don't even know your name. I barely introduced you to mine. I don't even think you memorized it yet. Like, why? How have you been waiting for me? And he tells me that he bought one of our devotional books last year for his mom. And she absolutely loved it. And he's telling me that he's been looking everywhere for these books and he couldn't find them. And that's why he's been waiting for me. And then he proceeds to tell me that he wants to buy the rest of the set for her. And so he does. So I finish up, I head out, I walk a little past the driveway, and I am just in awe and in amazement, like how God just gave me this divine appointment. And I remember I just looked up, and I just said, thank you. I was like, thank you for restoring my faith, because I was ready to give up and call it quits. I hated the weather. I hated the way my feet felt. I didn't like having to be vegetarian unwillingly. And the list goes on. I could keep going on with my excuses, but to be honest with you guys, at the end of it all, Youth Rush was the most one of the most challenging times of my Christian walk. But it was also one of the most rewarding as well. So my appeal to you today is very simple. It's during those times where you don't feel like doing your ministry, whatever that may be, when you don't feel like doing that, if you want to make a commitment today to put your faith over your feelings, especially during those times, I'd like to invite you to raise your hand. If that is you, I want to pray for you this morning. Let us have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for those who have made that commitment today. Lord, I pray that you will be with these individuals. Lord, I pray that you will help them to put their faith over their feelings. Lord, I pray that you will help them to remember FOF, especially during those times. Lord, I pray and ask these things in your name. Amen.